the environment, and thanks to Caroline and Nikki for facilitating me coming here. To the kids who have been climate striking, I find this quite amazing that I'm meeting you because I am really at the marathon, end of the marathon with this study, and I am actually very exhausted and tired, and I had a real flat period where I was just, I had no energy left and I was absolutely, I couldn't even think clearly anymore, I was so tired. And I remember that particular day that I was hitting that low spot, I turned on my phone and was scrolling through social media and I saw what you were doing. And it immediately re-energized, rebooted me. And I sort of jumped up and went straight back to my computer and got in like a demon, working really hard. And I remember thinking, thank God for those kids, because it stayed in my mind for a few weeks and really energized me. And I thought, I just wanted to tell you that story because I thought you may not know. I think you do know, it's really big what you're doing, but it's influenced probably millions of people you'll never meet. And also, I come from Ballarat, where there's the Eureka Stockade, and I thought it's, which is, you know, a historical moment in our nation's history where people stood up for the right thing. And I also think it's extremely historical what you've done, and the history will know that this occurred in Castlemaine. And it's on the same line as what happened with Eureka Stockade. So I'm quite honoured to meet you. All the stuff you've been saying, believe it or not, a lot of things you are doing, it's sort of funny, is the stuff I'm learning at university, you're talking about and doing. So I almost feel you know it all. But anyway, I'll try and, my objective tonight is I want to throw a few ideas that might help you. Some of them you'll look at and you won't feel good, but also probably with the wider group. I've developed some fairly crazy ideas and I haven't put them in a public forum before, so I'm actually really curious to see how they resonate with you or not. And I guess I'm trying to think very big about how we, I want to be fair dinkum about defeating dangerous climate change. So I'm thinking very big, got some fairly crazy ideas and I just want to see how you feel about them. Next slide. Okay, so yeah, this big question that occurred to me, you've seen enormous responses and resources get allocated to the global financial crisis or terrorism and other sort of big threats, but why aren't we responding to this phenomenal threat? And who could help in that question? Thanks, Laurel. Yeah, so the brain scientists have turned out to be extremely helpful. Next slide, thanks. I trip them really quickly. In the last 15 years, brain scientists have done some amazing groundbreaking work, and it's totally transformed the way we think about how we think. We used to think that we were rational people who would respond to facts, but what we have discovered, or the scientists have discovered now, is that our conscious mind that we're talking to people is pretty small. Our behaviour is really influenced by these deep subconscious beliefs that we have about our worldview and our social tribe and things like that. So if we have a worldview that's aligned with the environment, we'll probably be receptive to the facts. But if we don't, then some of the scientists, even they use the phrase, facts are meaningless, unless you have all this software built ready to receive those facts. Next slide, Paul. So essentially, the other idea is that we as moderns, when you look at the history of humanity from cavemen to us, we're called moderns. And so that moderns like us, we have a particular problem with our operating system or our software, is that we can't understand that we are dependent on the natural world. So if a crop fails, we don't actually go hungry. We just go to the supermarket. So at this subconscious level, we just don't get it that our survival is dependent on the natural world because of who we are, moderns. Next slide, thanks. So then there's been a whole lot of research. Well, how do we rewire these things? And the good news is we can, but we're talking about the subconscious. There's a lot of stuff in it, but I want to highlight one that I think might be relevant to what you're doing. Is that there's a new understanding that our senses are really, really powerful, and that the more of them that you use at once, the quicker these things rewire. So that's why with anything to do with imagery, sound, music, it has a powerful effect on helping people to reconceive their reality. Next slide, thanks. And the other thing that's quite funny is that 15 years of neuroscientists studying these neuron pathways is that they discover something that I guess Indigenous people could probably tell you if you ask them straight away, which is that storytelling is extremely powerful, because in our brains we suck in all these signals from our environment, from our senses, plus emotional signals, and the way our brain works, it's called a movie in the brain. We put all those things into a story, and the story is how we make sense of things. And this is how humans have been navigating complexity and dangerous situations for, you know, 40,000 years. Music, symbols, and storytelling. Thanks, Laurel. Okay, so what we discover is that the problem with this big threat is that we can't sense or feel it. We're not getting a signal that, like, we can't see a building falling down, or we haven't got a lion attacking us, so it's not activating our fear activation response to go, oh, we're in an emergency, we need to activate our problem solving and get moving. So how do we, we need to help people feel and sense this threat. Again, who can help? Believe it or not, again going to another non-technological solution is to philosophy. Philosophy has come forward with an answer. And this guy is called an eco-philosopher called Timothy Morton. And he's come up with this idea of describing climate change as a hyper-object. Just next slide. and it's quite unusual what he does, is he turns it into a thing. He describes, instead of like a whole stack of facts, like, soil moisture and ice melt and, the heat records and all of these millions and millions of facts, he says it's a thing, it's like a monster, but it's a very strange sort of galactic monster. And then he goes into a long, whole book explaining all the ways that this monster operates. Thanks, Laura. One of them is this idea, and he uses a lot of metaphors. A metaphor is really handy because it means that the software program, we already have it, we just tweak it. But we're like a little doll inside all these big systems, water systems, climate systems, and so forth, and we can't see the problem. Next slide. Yep. And it's also a bit like Mr. Snuffleupagus, in that, I don't know if you guys remember Sesame Street, that Big Bird talks to Snuffleupagus and he tries to tell everybody about Snuffleupagus. Everyone goes, well, I can't see Snuffleupagus, so it doesn't exist. But they say, we can see the heat effect on the railway lines, but we can't go, there's climate change. You can't point at it and go, there it is, and that sort of thing. So it's got this strange Mr. Snuffleupagus sort of thing going on. Now, I've actually got a little video here that goes into and explains a whole lot of his concepts in more detail, but what I might just do is flip through it, really quickly, yep. Because I want to get to the other stuff, and you can look at it online anyway. This just sort of, it had some music, it just sort of reiterates what I was saying. It has this, it's like fog, planetary time frames. I'll just click through all that. Okay, yeah, that's a bit of a thing. He says that it's very terrifying. He spends a lot of time talking about how terrifying it is. And I'll just explain why he does that. He's trying to give everyone a slap in the face and say, wake up, now, even though it is scary. And he says that this new monster is now in charge. The humans, you had your day thinking you could run the planet. I'm now in charge. Okay, so just bounce through that. Now we're turning it. What we're doing here is, so I'll just let that flip through, and you can sort of watch it as it goes. So he deliberately describes a very scary threat because he is trying to shake everyone awake and describes how it moves and feels. So then we say, okay, we've got this scary, overwhelming threat, and we understand a little bit about how it's being powered. What can we do? So then we turn to another group of experts. That's just to show that actually fear is not a bad thing. We might just pause there. Humans have faced terrifying threats before, and in fact, if you look in, believe it or not, in security and military studies, there's enormous amounts of knowledge about how to understand dangerous threats and respond. And they have all these methods and books on how to do a threat analysis, how to develop a strategy, and how to deal with danger and help people manage this sort of situation. So what I basically did is said, let's have a look at all of that knowledge and see if there's anything we can use from it to consider how we would do a response to climate change. Next slide. And one of the ways they do with a threat is the first thing they say is, okay, let's look at this threat. What are the things that are powering it? And then can we design a strategy around those three things to defeat this threat? Next slide. The other really big thing that I got from this philosopher is his idea that we have to think this on a really hyper scale, that our current method with little things like change our tax laws or, you know, tweak what we're doing in an institution is simply, it is like that size when the problem is that size. So he says, okay, forget everything, forget your normal institutions, forget everything else you do, think on a huge hyper scale. And match the size of the problem. Next slide. So I'm just going to introduce you a couple of hyper solutions. The first one I've got is how do we make the threat visible and knowable? And in this area, I'm just going to be talking about that subconscious aspect rather than the conscious mind. I did this article. We have got so many amazing artists and creatives. Let's get 60,000 artists on the job. Okay. Our best storytellers. My nephew tells me Boss Baby's his favourite film. We have people with these skills, so let's just mobilise them. Artists are already doing some amazing work of depicting the problem in a sensory, visual way. Musicians are doing some quite amazing stuff. This was the thing they did at the Paris thing where they had the Paris Agreement, where they had people go into a box and record their feelings and their views on the whole thing in 30 seconds, and then those video things went viral. Talking in groups is, there's a whole lot of reasons for our social psychology, but talking in groups is really powerful. And I just want to throw this out about symbols. Are very powerful with people. I think we know that from watching football. But then, just to throw that out, you might have an idea about a symbol. How was that?
We know it from climate strikes.
But even, as I thought it was great, the freeze thing that you were doing, there's actually a whole lot of science about when you associate a body movement with an idea. And an awful example of that is Hitler, who did this. And I was thinking, you're actually already doing that, but there could be something where you do a particular stance where maybe, you might come up with something better than I, but say, for example, your stance is like this, to say, we are ready to face this threat. We're not going to hide it like that. And you did some little dance around it or something like that. I'm just throwing ideas. But it embodies an idea with a physical motion, and that, for some reason, that activates the brain. This, for those who don't know, was a particular style of dancing that just went viral. It's a simulated riding a horse. Just in terms of using images and sound, you're already doing amazing things, but just, again, for examples, this was particularly effective in London, where they had birdsong playing the whole time during the protest march on loudspeakers. And the other thing they did is they invited everybody to dress as their favourite animal. So I'm just going to flick through, and to make nature visible, and let that play through, that you can see the sort of ways that people made nature be seen. Their badges. to their Prime Minister and all them. But when you're talking about media, some of those really big pictures of the bat and things like that, they really got front page of a lot of the papers. So it just distinguishes it from just pictures of people's faces. Okay, I don't have much time. Have I got time to mention quickly a couple of other big solutions or not?
Yeah, keep going. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right, the solution about problem of us going slow and not strong enough. This is where it gets a bit... obviously, the main thing people have done when they've had threats in the past is our main thing is mobilisation, which, of course, you know better than I, really. You're doing it. You're doing it. So, but I'm just saying this, how imagine this scale of World War I or II. People did mobilise in those times for the sake of the future generation. If we wanted to just be really imaginative and hyper and think differently, could we raise a completely different sort of force that... instead of just having just your normal state security, you have a huge planetary security force of millions of people and a human security force for people affected by, you know, fires, disasters, etc. And also keeping people's spirits going because it's going to be hard. So we could reimagine, we can reimagine how we mobilise. That's all right. Just to probably help you with some of those ideas, like I'm just again doing a sort of visual thing, is that you know you could have, how would you guys feel about a mobilisation force, a planetary security force that has a flower and a bird on it? I don't know. I'm also wearing a symbol today myself of an animal. Some other things you could do, you could put some flowers in your hair. It could sort of be a code symbol whenever you're wearing something that shows something about the environment. Now this is a really challenging idea. In refugee camps at the moment around the world, there's 70 million people sitting in refugee camps. Of those, some of them languish there for 10 to 15 years. If you did some rough stats, at least 16 million would be potentially willing to work. Imagine if you said to them, if you join this Earth Protection Force and you'll be doing things like planting trees, taking out plastic from the ocean, putting up solar panels, and we'll give you some training for 3-4 years, you work for this force, you'll then get a special form of Earth citizenship. It's a pathway to employment and citizenship. And that is an instant workforce of 16 million people. Obviously, you also could connect it with national and regional employment schemes and jobs. Another one is when we have these disasters, and which we're going to have more of them, is why would we rebuild fossil fuel infrastructure when we could have, every time, bring in some amazing sustainability designers and ecologically sensitive design and replace them all with beautiful zero carbon things that match the environment, cyclone proofing if they need them, etc., etc. So we just revamp gradually. That's part of what this force would do.
Where's
that diagram? I just got off the net, to be honest. I'm not 100% sure. It's some sort of architect's imagination thing. I don't think it exists. I think it's a concept.
But there are similar ones that exist around the globe.
All the finance and lawyers people wear some very smart ones who. I guess in some ways they've created the, you know, global financial crisis. We could say to them, how about you redeem yourselves and we have a super legal finance force who rejig our economics and justice systems so that they work and no one gets left behind. And this would be one of the biggest and most important forces in this force. Okay, so that's some of them. As you can see, they're pretty out there solutions, but I think what we sort of need to do is we need to make that jump to think at that hyper big level. So that's it. I'll just see if you've got, I don't know if any of those ideas resonate or not, or you don't like